All right, we're back. It's October 22nd, 2018. Another EBTBBY season
is upon us. Year 15, pod year 3. And I think Paul's already waved the right flag, so...
It's been an exciting one week of the season so far. It's been an aggressive start to the season. We drafted about 2 weeks ago. Yeah, it's 2 weeks ago. Iris finished all 11 power manager team previews. And we're a week in, and things are going on. So, welcome, Ira.
Yeah, it's good to be back, guys. I missed having East Friends of the Big Boy years of my life. I've had my celebration tour at the Sternum. And now it's time to get back to business.
And on the business end of things, I really started out pretty strong here, 1-8 in the first week. I'm just going to point out that I'm a much more loyal podcaster than Ira is. Last year around this time, he was losing 4 or 5 every week and refusing to write any sort of power rankings, refusing to go on the podcast, that's when EB, the Dark Ages, began.
The Dark Ages came before my losing. My losing just added on to my negative hopes for the future of the league. But last year, we all got along nicely. I think we had to initiate the committee to review anything, any unusual transactions. So.
At the beginning of the year last year, I coined it the seasonableness of reasonableness, and it really held up all season. Do you think that's going to hold true this year again, or do you have a different name in mind for this season?
This year could be tough, I'd say. Knowing that we have a team like Levy who could be on the tanking side of things, Justin could be paying less attention, so I think he could get a little more outlandish. And things could be a little more up in the air. Also, John probably isn't going to be as good. We all know he's skirmy when he gets to the core. So
yeah, and John keeps alluding to the fact that he's like, oh, you haven't seen me at the bottom yet. I'll make those kind of Levy trades all day. I think it may be an all talk moment for John there, but I guess we'll find out. Hopefully, maybe we won't have to see that. But on the Justin subject, I don't think – I've actually noticed it's not on the rundown, but I don't think having a baby is going to impact Justin's managing at all. That dude loves winning in this league now. And look, he's going to be awake. It's not like you have to stare at the baby the whole time. You could turn your phone on and check – ad drops at that time, so.
It could be a reversal. Now that I think about when, back in 10th or 11th grade, New Year's at Garrett's place, Justin and I had a long heads-up final in poker, and that kid got pretty loopy when he stayed up too late, so it could be a good opportunity to take advantage of Bibsy for once.
The man does like his sleep, so we'll give him that. All right, let's hop into this here. Put together a nice rundown today. We'll cover a lot. Since this is the beginning of the season, we will kind of do a lot of league stuff. Not too much has gone on in the real NBA yet.
I'll try and focus on the draft initially, I think. I think the best point of the year where everyone's hopes are still up, I would think, before the first week's results are in. So, how'd you feel about your draft experience? Usually you hate it, so, would you hate it a lot?
Well,
minor hate?
I wouldn't even say that I usually hate it. I usually have one or two picks that I really don't like. Last year I was kind of regretting, Zebo after I did it. You were in the room for the drafting this year, nothing was working for me. As we were going through the picks and the draft, I was just I don't know what happened. I'm not seeing certain guys and they're getting taken three picks after me. Why aren't I seeing them when I'm scrolling down all the picks?
Yeah, I don't know.
This
is why you do mock drafts. You gotta learn the system.
This is true. I guess next year I have to do that. two or three guys that I really like. Trey Young, I really wanted. I thought he'd be a good style for me. He went, I think, two picks ahead of me. I had the draft results up here. He went in the 8th round. He went about 5 picks before me. So, what are you going to do? Will Barton, another guy, he kind of went there.
That was a John Keeper, so don't beat yourself up too hard on that one.
Okay.
But, it was a fun draft. I think it was a difficult year to draft.
It was hard also because, with mentioning that was a John Keeper pick, it was a little confusing.
Well, the way the draft system works, your keepers just get picked automatically and they don't bother notifying you, which seems weird to me. I don't see why they can't just show the number and the name.
It was very strange.
Other draft pick
it was very strange.
In the chat combo.
I guess we've never noticed it before because the first three just go away and then we don't have to worry about it, but yeah.
It's tough to draft when you have two managers that are absent, so every player that might fall in, like, the rankings, like, automatically just get scooped up. So it's tough to find a good sleeper that you're excited about. You really have to reach if you want a player. Like, nobody's going to slide. So it's a tough environment.
And I think, look, things were complicated by this year with this new keeper system. Now that it was in action, what did you think about drafting with that and just in general how that's working out so far?
I enjoy like the complexity of it all. You know, I mean, I think now you can really take your roster construction in so many directions, and you really don't need to plan to have three keepers. Like, you can figure guys you can scoop up later, swinging big down the stretch, like the guys like Kristaps and DeMarcus Cousins that I took and Levy took respectively. Those are fun plays now that you can, you know, you, I mean, it's dangerous to use your IL spot in that fashion, but
well. I would almost argue that you should use the old IL rule that we still have in place, by the way, where you can say today that I dropped that guy, but I'm locking him in as a keeper.
Is that still on the books?
It's still on the books.
All right, so you're arguing that you can make this?
You 100% could. So you'd free up your current
okay.
IL spot.
That's interesting.
That said, for instance, DeMarcus, if he comes back during the year, you cannot play him if you were to use him.
I think nobody could pick him up if you dropped him, right?
Right.
You could declare him as a keeper and you would...
No one and yourself cannot use him for the rest
okay.
of the year.
All right.
So he's basically a dead player in this year's
right.
player pool.
Well, I mean, the likely...
For Kristaps, that's a pretty good move because I don't think he's coming back this year.
I appreciate the tip. Yeah,
you know, just
all right.
Trying to be fair and getting information
out there.
I thought
I'd be the one to give you content this podcast, but all right. Paul's a trick or two to share. That's good. So you came out not too happy with your team all in all.
Yeah, and as for this new keeper system, I think we're going to have to implement some caps on this. Like, I know we have Donovan Mitchell, right? He was kept in the 9th round this year, and next year he'll be kept in the 7th round.
That's correct.
And is that it? We have a two years and done?
No, I think it's, you know, infinity and beyond. So you can
yeah.
be a 4th rounder, and then you would just hit the top 3.
Yeah, I'm going to think that we're going to need to put an old cappy there. For a two year structure would be good, just because.
The best late keeper that we're talking about,
well,
I think.
No, well, here's the problem now. What if, like, Harry Giles picked in the 15th round, blows up in the second half of the season, so he goes from 15 to 14 to 12
to
9,
and then
finally to 4. So by his 4th season, when by that point maybe he's a 2-time All-Star.
Yeah.
He's finally
five, yeah.
you know.
Well,
it's more of an issue of the deeper roster. Or the other thing is, you know, we've talked about how, and obviously we're a long way off from our next rules meeting, so we can push this back to another time to debate.
Take notes, guys.
But, you know, maybe if we're saying that all free agents are 9th rounders, maybe anything after the 9th round should be a 9th rounder, too.
That's even drastic. I don't know. And I feel like the whole point of the rule, for at least the ones who are advocating
mm-hmm.
it, which I think was Andrew really
Justin,
brought up to the table,
yeah.
and Justin, who benefit the most from it, by the way, just going to emphasize that point. It was about making the draft more valuable. So if you want to make the draft more valuable, and if that's what you're voting for, then...
Of course, but this also happened concurrently with our expansion of the roster by 2 spots. So
well,
you know,
that's why we were throwing out maybe the free agent should be like our 11th round keeper in that case,
mm-hmm.
you know, because the draft's expanded to 15, push it back 2 rounds.
No, I'm saying go the other way, move everyone. The
well,
other
you're
direction.
Saying the late draft picks just shouldn't.
Or anything after 13 should maybe cap at 13.
Draft cap at 13. There you go. 13 to 12 to 11 to. What,
13
8?
To 12 to 10 to 7.
To 12 to 10 to 7. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, this
well,
is all very granular.
It's hard to think about, but yeah. And it seems like, through my conversations, that people have enjoyed the change. They find it's interesting. It adds a little, some more layers to the league.
Yep.
Rather than the usual system.
Everything is more complex, and it's harder to just visualize everything. It may take a year or two to kind of let everything shake out. I probably won't propose anything at this point. I don't think it's impacting the league that much in a bad way, but... And it turns out that...
Is any change what we have to put it 2 years down the line? So it might be worth making your proposal. Then we can vote it down if we don't like it in a year anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's always going to be people's bias. Anyway,
yeah.
After the draft, best roster, I mean, it seems obvious at this point, right?
Well, you've read my team previews, hopefully, at this point. So.
Yeah, and for anyone who hasn't, Ira's basically had Garrett as an A. He has the next highest grade, I think, it was me and Duran at B's.
It was Duran, Corey, and Trevier at B's.
And then
and
me and Andrew at B-.
B-.
And then everyone else, kind of in the shit tank of the season. Eric at a D. So basically, you don't have a lot of faith in many teams other than Garrett in this year's league, correct?
I would agree that when I see the end results, I would definitely expect Garrett to be in a high position by the end of the regular season. And I think the rest of the league is still very much up in the air. Yeah, I mean, obviously there's some teams that have great keepers, like a Trippier, obviously. I'd say, Durant's keeper's pretty strong with Donovan Mitchell and Westbrook and Kawhi, who's looking healthy. But, you lose one of those keepers, and, then your team takes a big step back. I mean, we saw that with Andrew last season, too, when he lost Kristaps, and then, the whole thing fell out underneath.
To me, it looks strongly it's going to be Garrett, and if Trevier decides to make some moves, he'd be up there as well. I just think with the strength of his keepers, and then, I think he had a really nice steal in Caris LeVert. He has some guys that can just play, Jamichael Green when he comes back, Capella. You mentioned he kind of reached it to Steven Adams, but he seems to always work in the mold of Trevier's team, and he likes him there. Brandon Ingram, if he kind of has a bust out once he gets back from his little suspension here. Who knows? But
that one.
Yeah. But Dennis Smith Jr. has had star potential so far for the season, in two games, averaging 16, 5.5 assists and 2.5 boards.
You didn't mention the biggest surprise, I think, was that Trae Young. I think it was that Sunday night special when he dropped
big outburst. He's
35, 11 assists, 6 trays.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, the fact that the guy's shooting, 45% through 3 games is a miracle. I wouldn't have thought he'd be touching 45.
His rank right now is 17. He is one of the most prolific players in college basketball history. Whether he impacts winning at all, who knows? But that doesn't matter in fantasy basketball. That is somewhat the beauty of fantasy basketball, right?
Well, you mean Trae Young in the NBA impacting winning?
Correct.
He will impact your years.
I don't think he'll ever be on a team that's makes the playoffs. But as far as fantasy goes, no, I see a Jamal Crawford comparison. Jamal Crawford on steroids, basically.
The steroids made him a little shorter.
Okay, so those are kind of the best teams.
How do you feel? How do you feel about our auto pick rosters and with Eric and Dan? It's hard to fuck up too much when you have picks in the 4th, 5th, 6th round. And those should have hit up in the long run, right?
Well, Dan's gonna have to manage this year. He didn't have to do it last year. He's gonna have to do it this year. I believe after the draft, it said that his team is pretty damn good. Let me try to pull this up real quick. But
he's definitely got some talent. I mean, I think he has a nice punt free throw roster. He has big men, which I'd say is a weakness for a lot of the teams. So if it's healthy enough.
Look, he always has big men. This has been his roster for the last 7 years. He always has big men. Two of them always get hurt. He has Dwight Howard hurt already, right? He's Andre Drummond, who's going to be out for at least 3 weeks at some point in the season, right? He has some interesting supporting players, and depending on injuries to various teams, some of them may get stretches where they go hot, and maybe a lot of guys on the team get hot at a time. Not bad, but he's going to have to manage. That's what it comes down to with him. If he wants to make the playoffs, and this is the year he could do it, he's going to have to manage. I want to see him by the first round of games, so after the first 11 weeks, I want to see him at 15 moves. That's the goal for him.
That's possible. Yeah, that's not asking much.
Dan, if you were listening, if anyone relays the message, I want to see you at 15 moves
in
11 weeks.
15 moves? One move a week? A little more than that? Seems
it's
possible.
Doable. Now,
putting your IL spot could be a good start.
Now, Eric's team, he actually had a nice win week 1, 6-3.
Surprising.
Yep, he's playing me right now, so he may just have a strong start. Interesting roster. As you mentioned, he made the huge mistake trading Kristaps last year, not knowing what was going on.
I'll do the oral history. You make the merge movie or something on that one.
Yeah, well, I think Luka Doncic is going to be really good. We'll see what Blake Griffin can produce this year. So far, he's putting up good numbers. Let's see if he can sustain that.
If the Pistons stay in the playoff race, which seems likely, I guess, he has reason to play even if he gets dinged up a little bit. So if Blake somehow can, play 70 games, I mean, that's a big steal in the 5th round of the draft.
Yep.
But it's tough when you have the auto draft on. I mean, you're not going to get many sleepers. He's got Luka. But, I mean, I don't know. Jimmy Butler, the saga. It's...
He should have a strong assist team, I think. He is between Luka and Draymond, who's a good passer for his size.
Yes, Gasol's
a good
guess.
You know, Conley and Blake Griffin also a good passer for his size, plus Drew, Goran Dragic. That should be good. Points, I think, are weak. Would you say points are weak on his team?
I think the points...
The points should be fine?
The points will be serviceable. I think... I mean, the biggest thing is probably going to be, like, his hustle numbers. I don't think the steals and the blocks are really going to be so present. I mean, I mentioned, like, you probably... A lot of these teams should have just punted blocks, probably. Like, and then, like, you grab a guy like Brook Lopez. He's, like, a three and block center. Like,
let's bring this up now. If every team... Basically, in your evaluation, was it that no one, everyone should be putting blocks?
Maybe there's an opportunity to.
We need to change the roster.
Okay, you want to go down this route? Okay.
We need to change one of these center slots.
Change proposals, Paul. Come on.
But there's no reason to have a guaranteed 24 centered roster when there's maybe 8 real centers in the league anymore.
There are still real block centers. I agree with you. There are very few real block centers. There's still a lot of, like, rebounding types, I'd say. You know, you have, like a Julius Randle, like Aaron Gordon.
He's a power forward!
Like, they have center eligibility. Young's very generous with their center eligibility.
I don't know.
You're too traditional. You got look at this. I mentioned this. Brook and Blake, they're both just centers in Yahoo label only. And that's what you're talking about here.
Yeah, there's no depth at this position anymore. I just don't understand when we're playing more wings and it doesn't even look like that in this lineup. Anyway, I digress. I'll have more time to bitch and moan about this. It's early in the year. Let's keep it going. Is Garrett the lead dog? Is a question you pose on your rundown. It's obvious, right?
Right now, I think a lot of the guys he took, I was also targeting. So I would say it's usually a good sign when... Yeah, that means you're covering all your bases, you're taking care of the big manhole, you realize that points, those are going to come by any time, like, rebounds aren't that crucial, everyone rebounds.
Yep.
He's got the hustle stats, got the sleepers.
Look, he's only in fifth place now. I will say, props to Garrett, I texted him today, I'm very happy that he's changed his name from Brow Wow Wow to What Can Brow Do For You. Much better name, in my opinion.
Really? Huh?
Yeah, and I think that kind of...
Did you find the Brow Wow Wow to be, like, sloppy, lazy, or...
I didn't get it. It didn't do much for me. What can brow do for you? That's a solid pun. Keeping the brow in there. I just think that's the kind of good karma that's going to help him climb to the top of the league this year. Get that sternum, possibly. But, as I said, not at the top of the standings right now. The much maligned Bibsy is 8-1 up there. And Corey in second place at 7-1-1. Your darling from last season who didn't quite pan out. Do you think these guys have a decent shot?
I got some hope for Corey. I kind of gave him the same review that I gave Eric, and you know it comes down to the health issues. I mean, that's when I just look at Joel Embiid, I'm just like flashing red lights the entire time. But it's not really just him. I think the rest of the roster also you need to take into account the injury bug. Like Jabari Parker hasn't gotten to a good start. Gary Harris has had injury issues all 4 years, and he's only been in the league 4 years. That's a bad sign for a young player. We got Rondo he's going to get injured. He's also going to get into fights, apparently. Devin Booker, who's missed a lot of games, but the first week, he had great numbers. The entire team did. And, I mean, the keepers were Kemba dropping, like, 40 points, I think, in multiple games. He's averaging 35 right now in 6 threes. That's going to come down, but... I mean, Kemba can post a top 20 season. Jason Tatum, who I thought was going to get squeezed, is looking more like the top dog than Kyrie Irving, which is a pretty big shocker, I'd say, so far.
Yeah, and I think he's not going to be losing minutes at any point of the season, no matter what. I think it's been established that he's the top guy there, which is very strange. But
you think Kyrie's number two in the pecking order? I mean, Jason did get the shot versus who did they play next? Was that the Knicks?
Yeah.
He got the final shot versus the Knicks, which was surprising to see. And I don't know. I feel like Kyrie's issues weren't just being top dog with LeBron. I think it was all the LeBron ecosystem that he didn't like. But I can't imagine him putting up with it for a long time.
Look, Ira, all the better for him to become a Knick at the end of the season with Kevin Durant. Okay, so let's hope for the worst in Boston. And maybe that could be our... As much as I don't really like Kyrie, if we had Kyrie and Durant and KP, that's a recipe for success there. So... I will take that in a heartbeat.
That'd be amazing. I mean, I guess a little soft, but a KP Durant Kyrie team, but I won't complain. It's,
You're mentioning of Gary Harris. This actually may be a good point to bring up something that may slightly affect our fantasy season. So Gary Harris actually lit up the Warriors the other night. He had 28 points, 57% shooting, two threes. A lot of his points coming off cuts. And he seems to be one of the early beneficiaries of this new rule in the NBA, or really the new enforcement of not restricting players' movement off the ball. Are there any other guys you could think of that are really – I think a lot of shooters are going to kind of really benefit from that in general.
Well, you think of on your team, one guy I noticed who is playing well, J.J. Redick's off to a nice start out there.
Yeah, when you can't hold these guys under the basket, it's pretty good. But watching the games, it's a little weird. It's like every play, it seems like there's a call on this stuff. But I wonder if it's going to have any significant impact on the overall statistics in our league this year.
It's interesting to think about. I guess I'd have to watch the film a little more closely. It's not the kind of thing that you'd probably see popping up on like a Yahoo player now.
No.
You know, like even like if we're shifting to the other surprising squad in week one, Justin, I mean, he picked up Danny Green off the waiver wire. And that's another guy who's going to be cutting constantly. And, you know, he's trying to launch threes all game long. If these guys have free runways to get open. And same thing, Kyle Lowry's off to a hot start, too. And he's going to be racing around screens. Steph, obviously, in the Warriors system. Although, I noticed today that the Warriors apparently passing is down quite a bit in the first three games.
Yeah.
Which is...
I think they're just kind of bored and not really fully checked in yet. And I think they'll get there.
Probably won't be checked in for a while, yeah. But, you know, it's... I don't know. Well, a few more losses like the one they had versus Denver yesterday. And things could change for the Warriors.
These are two-point games, though. You know, it's like it's not really much to worry about at this point. At some point, they'll wake up and say, you know, we got to get this going the right way. And maybe they're just tinkering and seeing what they could do at the beginning of the season and giving themselves a challenge of kind of climbing back into a top seed after a rough start to the season.
They might just not even give a shit. I mean, they played about winning versus Houston last year when they were down 3-2. And I mean, they got it done. I mean, as Houston collapsed in Game 7 following their leader, James Harden. But, hey, look, if the Warriors want to take some time off and Curry wants to slow down a little bit for Justin's squad, I obviously wouldn't have any issues with that. This team, I think, had a little more break just in terms of the opposition in Week 1. No offense to you. And you had some injuries holding you back. But when I look at Justin's roster, I mean, the keepers are playing great. Steph and Kyle Lowry off to great starts. Enes Kanter shooting 60%, 92% from the line, 20 and 12.
I may be jumping ahead here, but I actually have him as one of my steals of the draft. Justin got him in the 12th round or 14th? 12th round.
Yeah.
Great pick. And he seems to be eating all the minutes there. His backup right now seems to be Noah Vonleh. Mitchell Robinson out a little bit with an injury. And Enes Kanter looks like he's in great shape in a contract year, to be totally honest here.
Maybe a few blowouts might change the minutes equation, I'd say. And, you know, I mean, eventually if Stapps gets on the court, that's going to take some possessions. But, I don't know, Cantor's definitely going to produce. I mean, I think it's hard to imagine him not being, like, a top 60 guy. Whether he stays, like, top 20, that might be a little too much.
Yes, I would agree.
but, no, I mean, look, yeah, Cantor in the 12th round or whatever he was, 13th, I mean, he's definitely going to be worth it. But I'd say the rest of the roster, we shouldn't get too excited yet. I'd say the only other guys that maybe like a Bazemore or like a Danny Green have impressed, but nobody else here. Like, I don't think Malik Monk's going to keep getting even 0.7 steals and 0.7 blocks. Like, he's not going to knock down three threes a game.
No, his minutes aren't looking like they're going to be high enough for that, to be honest. And look, he didn't really play much last season at any point in the season. I don't know that he's ready for a significant time yet. And on that roster, I could see them down the stretch of games, unless they need to make some big shots, I could see them go with a two-guard lineup of Tony Parker and Kemba. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, so Justin hasn't had too many of his sleepers yet. I don't think he's got too many pickups. So he still has some work to do, but obviously it's nice to have this cushion as he's heading into the next few weeks. He can lose a few matchups and still be in the top half of the standings with an 8-1 victory.
Yep.
All right, let's hop continuing down... we should give you credit for the one guy that you did get right in your team. Nikola Jokic is And looking like he could be even better than expected. And he's like the consensus top 8 guy.
He's number one. He's number one.
Is he ranked one right now?
He's ranked number one. No, I didn't check today, but as of yesterday, I think he was number one. So I doubt anything's changed there. But yeah, currently the number one player in Yahoo Sports, baby.
And he posted a perfect game, which like I really never even thought of like in the basketball sense. But I think he missed like one free throw.
Yeah, he went 10 of 11 from the free throw line. He went 11 of 11 from the floor. 35 points, 3 threes made, 12 boards, 11 assists, and 4 steals and a block. So he now has like the fastest triple double I think in NBA history. Shortest amount of time, and then he has like one of the best triple doubles in NBA history. I think Wilt Chamberlain, they said, was the last player to do something similar to what he's done. So, pretty remarkable. Look, I got that right. It wasn't a hard decision to make based on who was on my roster last year. So, I wouldn't give myself too much credit there.
Yeah, that's true. And how are you thinking about the long term right now? I saw you post on the message boards that everyone is available. Are you looking to make some deals, or are you punting, or you think you're...
You know me. I'm not actually giving up this early. But it's more of a... If anyone's interested in making some trades that maybe balance rosters out a little bit better, I'm open to those discussions. Just because people never really know who to check with early in the season. But I'm open, guys.
Right, let's see. And if the Chattermill is really open, is DeAndre Ayton on the block?
Sure.
You're accepting? Oh, okay. Right. I'm sure that's music.
I don't immediately hang up the phone.
Okay.
I'll listen.
That's an exciting sign. You could get some interest there, I'm sure. We'll text Levy if you didn't listen afterwards. I want to talk to you at least.
Yeah.
That's exciting. That'd be exciting to see trades already. I'm sure, probably, not just
the guys, Ira is glowing right now. He's like, man, this is going to be such a fun season if we're getting trades in the first 2 weeks of the season. He looks very excited. Speaking of Aiden, let's do a little NBA rookie check-in. Who's impressing you so far?
I'm pretty high on Aiden right now. I think I know he had a rough game. Who was that versus the other day? That was versus Jokic. He had a pretty rough go.
He also had kind of like turned his ankle in practice the day before, so I don't think he was perfectly healthy. He only wound up playing 23 minutes in that one. And Jokic is a pretty good positional defender.
Give up ground in the post.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Yeah.
And Aiden seems like Aiden's not about to like really like face up and take some off the dribble. It seems like it's more traditional post work that he's looking for.
Yeah. Well, he could attack you from the high post with it, with like a two dribble attack, but I think where you move Jokic is kind of setting screens on him and running around a lot and maybe drifting the perimeter, but Jokic is in great shape right now, so obviously he has the perfect game. So, but look, Aiden, I think it'll be a good challenge tomorrow versus the Warriors. Then he has the Lakers who he could... Who's their big man right now? It's no one.
They have JaVale.
It's JaVale. You may go with JaVale a bit.
Just pump. All right.
Yeah, exactly. and he has a very solid one-handed pump fake, you know, like palming the ball. He's impressive. He was impressive in college, and he looked like, you know, the criticism about him coming to the draft was always to play defense. It's one of these situations where the guy was so good, he didn't really care to try hard on defense in college because he didn't need to. He's going to be an absolute monster.
That's a scenario.
You know, I kind of had said that I thought he was going to be the next Tim Duncan-type player, so we'll see if he can live up to that hype that I've given him there.
Jesus. Tim Duncan. I don't know. He went to school to Arizona, didn't he?
He did go to Arizona.
Yeah, I'm an Arizona program guy. He's not a world class citizen here.
No. No one is Tim Duncan as a person exactly. But
I'm still recovering from hearing that when Tim got divorced. That was a real like reality shatter for me.
Things happen, man. You know.
Yeah, but these. I mean, Jeter never. I mean, I guess Jeter kept it right. You know, he never. I guess he got married, but he stayed single for a long time to maintain his perfect persona.
Well, he was actually engaged to Minka Kelly, and then he broke that up, so...
Did he?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And she's hot.
He's not on there yet. It's like all these guys. Like, the perfect people. Like, Tom Brady. Like we all thought that he was, like, just like the perfect all-American guy, but now we know he's a fucking nut job.
How so? Oh, with his Trump stuff?
Well, not even the Trump stuff, but, like, his, like... He had, like, the documentary that he came out with about himself, and, like, he's trying to, like, sell, like, his fitness product. Him and his trainer have, like, a really weird relationship. It's a lot of drama with the Patriots, but I'm sure this isn't a football audience. I'll move on.
Yeah, Garrett. I just heard Garrett shutting off the podcast. So there you go.
Well, let's pull him back. So I'll say, of course, the guy drafts Jaren Jackson Jr., who like the guy already has a pretty good opportunity to get a role in Memphis. Then like Kyle Anderson has is hurt on my team a little bit, so he's not playing full minutes. Then Jermichael Green goes down for 2 months, and now they have no reason not to play Jaren Jackson Jr., who's just going to take this and run. So, like, that's one sleeper that, like, Garrett's going to nail now. It's, yeah.
Yeah, he's good. So his game against Atlanta, and Atlanta's defense is porous. Let's just say that, okay? They went up 111 to the Knicks, including the Knicks' highest scoring second quarter in their franchise's history. And then they let up 131 to the Grizzlies, who were the Grizzlies. In that game, Jackson scored 24 with 2 threes, very efficient from the field at 66%, 7 boards, 2 assists, a steal, and 2 blocks. He's a guy to me. I watched him a fair amount in college also. I think he could play some stretch five as well. He's not that aggressive, but if they're going to find him for open shots in the corner, he's going to get his buckets. You know, he has a smooth stroke.
That team, like, even like the lead dogs like Conley and Gasol, like, they're not looking to like score, get their own. Like, they're looking to just like set up their teammates more so. So like, there's a lot of opportunity on this Memphis roster. I don't think Chandler Parsons is going to come around again and carry the team to the promised land. So yeah, Jackson Jr. set up pretty nicely, and just to get the defensive stats, and the offense is just like gravy on top of all that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and then I would say I'm surprised to see Mo Bamba's had a decent start for the Magic. He's been picking up blocks already. His first game was a nice 13-7 with 2 swats, 25 minutes. His minutes have been going down from there in the Magic losses, but I don't know. If he can already get near double doubles and pick up blocks, and he's like a block master out there, so. That seems like a promising thing, and that could take Corey's team somewhere in the center category.
Yeah, look, I think he's always going to get those blocks. It seems like he's one of these guys that even in, like, kind of, if you want to make a fantasy comparison, kind of how, like, Bismack Biyombo was when he was on Toronto. You know, if he's going to play 12 minutes, he's going to somehow get a block or two in there. It's whether he'll be rosterable by doing the other things. Rebounds, you know, decent points. I'm not sure Bamba's really there yet in his career. I think he's very, very raw. And with the congestion they have in their roster, where they have about 3 or 4 of their young guys that all should probably be playing small ball five, you know, Jonathan Isaac and Aaron Gordon, plus Vucevic, who's going to eat minutes as long as he's still on the roster, it's going to be hard for him to fully carve out a niche, in my opinion.
It's definitely not going to get to like 30 minutes this season, but if he can shape out to 20, it's hard for me not to imagine the Magic stinking, and they have to trade Vucevic, because I don't see why you let him go as like a free agent. You might as well just dump him for a second round draft pick. That's going to open up like a 30 minutes on the roster. So
what team needs a center that needs to run your offense through? That's competing.
Yeah, just be a 6th or 7th man. Like, I think they could dump him on, I don't know, like Houston would take him. I mean, yeah, it's, the Lakers might take him. I don't know. I think there's going to be enough teams trying to compete.
That's what the Raptors thought about Jonas Valanciunas. They're very similar. And Vucevic is a better offensive player by far.
Well, Valanciunas been a free agent yet, even though? I don't know.
No, they gave him the contract because they couldn't trade him anywhere.
Okay. Well, yeah. Well, I think Orlando's asking price might be even cheaper. So, I mean, they're a team that's happy to get ripped off, I feel like.
They have a new front office in place, so.
Yeah, that's true too.
They may be willing to part with the old regime's star people, I guess, as well.
Yeah, I was a few rookies that I think people are maybe a little higher on, like when the draft, maybe like post draft, like less so now. Like we have like guys like Kevin Knox, who you took a flyer on.
Yeah, huge mistake. He's already off my roster.
What was like a 10th rounder? 11th rounder, so it's, you know.
You know, I watched him the first game, and I'm like, this guy, like, you just tell watching some people, like, this guy is not ready to play real NBA minutes at all.
It's almost dangerous, because he can already get his shot, but it's just
But you don't want him getting his shot that often. You know, like.
Yeah, he's not ready.
He has Tim Hardaway. Well, the Knicks, everyone on the Knicks thinks that they're better than they are, which is a huge problem. We don't need to dive into that at all. But Knox isn't very good. What other rookies do you think people were high on?
I got Colin Sexton, I think. Especially, like, going into the draft, like, going into the NBA draft, post-NBA draft, people thought that he had a great, like, runway with the Cavs. And now it's looking like, maybe George Hill's going to be rolling for a little while.
George Hill?
Let Jordan Clarkson score a little bit. Ronnie Hood's going to play.
How many point guard competitions has George Hill won in his career? Every single team he's been on for his career, he's had to fight for his minutes, and he always wins
Utah,
out.
But just, you know, they don't want to re-sign him, you pay him.
But I'm saying every team he's ever been on, he always wins out the starting job. They always bring in someone that they think can beat him out and never can. It's just one of those situations.
Yeah, no, it's true. Well, we'll see. I mean, Chira's pretty patient, I think, so he might hold on to Sexton for a while. I would think a team with the Cavs, like, I mean, Kevin Love's getting a lot of stats, but the team's not doing well. So, like, Cody Osmond's getting a lot of numbers, but the team's not doing well. So, like, they're going to start playing Sexton more, I think, as this season goes on. I don't see why else they wouldn't. We should touch on one. I guess it looks like an anomaly, but maybe it's become a trend. The super high pace right now we're seeing in the NBA and, like, the high scoring, it's going to have a big impact on our fantasy season, too. I mean,
this happened last year. We did the numbers on this, didn't we, last year?
We did do the numbers last year, but I think even I saw a chart, and it was even higher than, like, last year's, like. Like, usually it's always increased rate, but this season's even more.
Well, really, this just impacts you, Ira, because when you do your benchmarking for your power rankings, the numbers are now just a certain percentage higher than they used to be, and it's a real kind of mind fuck for what's
well, the
good.
Numbers were, I mean, we didn't have, like, a Monday in week one, so, like, the HGP was all the games played. Was down. I mean, I took a screenshot just to save it out of the game cast. And I mean, the top number was 42 for Chabir, and then everyone else was like in the 30s. Besides, like Eric was 30, Drawn's at 29. But you know, like the teams that won, like Corey was at 39, I was at 38, Justin was 37. You know, you were 36. So like it was fairly spread out. And so it makes like Garrick's victory over Chabir. He had a 31 HGP. Versus Chabir's 42.
Yeah, I mean,
that's pretty impressive to win that 5-3 anyway. So, but some of the numbers were pretty nice for week one. And Corey dropped almost 700 points, 63 pointers, 228 rebounds. So
buckets. That team's getting buckets.
Yeah. We'll see if my dark horse is ready to perform this year. He could pass you in the overall average finish with a nice showing this year.
So. Yeah, I didn't like that little dig that Eric could be heading towards the murky Paul and Corey swamp in Eric's team preview today. Not nice, Ira. Not nice.
Well, you know, I mean, you guys are like you could make the playoffs here once in a while, but just like it's not an expectation. Hopefully that's not the case. I'd love to see you make it. You know, it adds to the podcast chat.
You know, I've had some rough luck the last year or two. I don't totally blame myself. And I think since college, my team's been in better shape than his overall. That's what I've been. Since the Polk and the era began, I've been better. But you know what? I just need to win. I need to prove it in the win-loss column. That's it.
No, that's true. It was a big step for you to break up with John Wall. You and DeMarcus are gone, so maybe this new, I don't know, this non-Kentucky, you know, a little more team-friendly attitude under Jokic's Overwatch could lead to something.
I guess so.
Maybe. It's a better fantasy mojo. Yeah. But nonetheless, if the season doesn't go well for you, and you wanted to spin on one manager, who would it be?
Oh, okay. Well, are we talking about, like, if we were playing basketball or, like, just like we're at the manager's meeting and like we're coming like to blows basically.
I think either scenario is probably just as likely. I don't know. Like it's probably it's a close call. Anyway, just in case you haven't been following the news, we're referencing Rajon Rondo and Chris Paul got into it, and Rondo did like a little like subtle spit in Chris Paul's face from like a foot away. Let this exchange of blows. So
I'd probably spit on Levy. Because whenever we get to the manager's meeting, he basically doesn't know what the fuck is going on ever, but like starts saying things that make no logical sense.
Yeah,
it's not lawyer talk. Look, I grew up, I'm a child of two lawyers. I know what lawyer talk is. He just, his mind warps things. Okay. It doesn't make any fucking sense. It comes in the machine and the machine does something weird and spits out a totally different thing. It makes no sense. So I think that'd be the most likely. Now I will say from taking past EBTBBY managers into account and in an actual athletic competition, I'd probably have to answer Dan Weiser because, you know, there was a time, once upon a time on my front lawn, we were playing football. Back in the day, we used to play like a designated quarterback and then like one-on-one kind of thing.
Okay, yeah.
And it was like...
You actually spit on someone?
No, I didn't spit, but like...
I'm sorry, you did?
So it was like me versus Weiser and Andrew was designated offense. But I was QBing and I got like... Meanwhile, I got in some argument the play before, and like we were both fuming pissed. So the next play, I snap the ball. I call a hike, and I just throw the ball in his face. And then, like, he chased me around, and we basically wound up resting on the ground for about 10 minutes afterwards and killed the game. So
the ball in the face.
Yeah, that's pretty close to a spit feud as possible, I think.
That's pretty aggressive. No, that's a strong action. It's kind of like almost like a Lance ball fake at Kobe. That was questionable ball fake. Now, looking back at the camera evidence... I did try to think about it, like, in league history and the friendship group, to think about, and there is some evidence, I'd say, that probably the leading spitter, especially if there's alcohol involved, would be Trivier.
Ooh, yeah.
Because we have the famous milkshake fiasco, which, I mean, that's basically spitting in someone's mouth in reality, because, you know, from the milkshake to the mouth, that's pretty messed up. He's also, I mean, there's been peeing and throw-up incidents, which is, like, almost spitting, you know, so that's getting close.
Not to mention he may be possessed by his love for Bravo reality television, which definitely has some spit feuds going on as well.
Okay, yeah, it's kind of like playing Grand Theft Auto too much, you know, it starts to get into your brain.
The problem is I can't see a managerial situation in which he would spit on someone. Usually he's pretty laissez-faire of any sort of activities.
Yeah, he's not really interested in the competition, I think, in those settings. He's more all about the let everyone be how they want to be, you know. Chill, man. But then there's also, well, the people who do get spit on the most are definitely like Andrew currently. If you think about Holden, I'm sure there's a lot of spit up at this age.
Sure.
And Justin's about to get spit on quite a bit. So maybe that's transmitting and that could carry over. I don't know. So those are probably the likely angles, I think. On the basketball court, I think I could see myself spitting if somebody really pissed me off.
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%.
Yeah, it could go there. I don't know. I think, like, Corey could hawk a loogie at someone.
For sure.
I would say,
of the current managers, if there's going to be a spit feud on a basketball court, Corey would definitely be involved, and it'd probably be either you or me. We'd probably be on the same team as him, which would be even funnier. But definitely Corey would be involved, for sure. We holding his arm up at the elbow. We look off the pass, and a loogie comes flying in our face. Fuck you guys. Give me the ball, you know?
You want the ball? You got the ball. You throw the ball at him and throw a boogie in right after. Nice little decoy route. It's possible. It's possible. But, you know, this... I'm not even... even when we thought of this Lakers roster composition, I'm not sure we ever thought that. We thought we'd go down a spit tunnel, but... Look at that. You know, 3 games in, spit's already flying.
It's also kind of wild that these are the two guys that probably, if you pulled NBA players, like, who would you most like to punch in the face? It'd probably be Chris Paul and Rondo. And, like, the ultimate would have been just the two of them both... swinging punches at each other, making great contact in each other's face, and both collapsing to the floor. That'd have been the ultimate. But yeah, we get some weird suspensions in there, and you know, it is what it is.
They're definitely up there. I mean, props to Brandon Ingram for providing the spark to like blow that whole thing up. And I'm pretty sure James Harden would be high on my list too, in terms of like people I want to spit in their face. So it's good to see he was involved. I think there's probably some dirty thing he was doing, or like, you know, it's legal, yeah, but like it's a draw foul.
Rewatching, I couldn't fully understand what Brandon Ingram was so upset about, to be honest, you know?
I feel like he's just pissed off. Well, he got in the ref's face too, which like I'm surprised that wasn't like taken more seriously. Like basically talk shit like in the ref's like grill.
But that maybe didn't he get the longest suspension?
He got 3 games.
I thought he got, didn't he get 4? I thought he got the most. I think he got 3, 4.
4, whatever. But still, it's not that much, really. Yeah. I don't know. You were thinking it'd be a little more than that, because, I mean, punches were landed.
And the NBA is pretty concerned anytime there's any sort of referee confrontation. Who was it last year that got suspended a game or two for getting in the face? Was it George Hill, actually?
Did George Hill? I don't recall him doing that. Let me Google it real quick. George Hill hit something?
No, I don't think he hit. Like, someone, like, basically, like, put their, like, I don't know, they headbutted a ref, or like they got like right up in the ref's face.
Mike Scott and George Hill? That's an old, the only
no.
That looks like George Hill and the Pacers. I don't know. I don't remember who did it last season. I do
maybe it was Sean Livingston? Maybe I'm thinking the other long point guard. Maybe it was Sean Livingston.
As I was saying, James Harden, I think actually my number one spit would probably be Steph Curry. And then also,
what does Steph Curry do to deserve your hatred like this?
He's too fucking cocky. I can't say
he's not that cocky.
He does what he's expected to do. You fucking hit a 30-foot 3. We all expect Steph Curry to hit the 30-foot 3.
It's amazing, though.
And then we go crazy. That's not amazing. Anyone thinks they can do it, which proves it's not amazing in reality.
They'll think they can do it, but they can't.
People can do it. Come on.
Why aren't they doing it, then?
Trae Young can do it. Come on.
Please.
Do it.
And he can't, but he can't win.
He just got started. Give him the guy a little bit of time.
I'm positive about it. It's on the record now, so.
Jesus Christ. No, you're fine. I'm surprised you're the one that's riding the Trae Young sucks bandwagon.
He sucks.
Usually I'm the one that's bashing, like, the free-shooting rookie, and, like, you're the one who's all into the swagginess.
I'll also say, this year's been a great ride for my...
The crazy passes that you would love, like, come on, he's got...
He's like one of these, like, you know, not to self-bash millennials, but he seems like one of these millennial Instagram, like, he's just doing it for the gram and for his Snapchat. And, you know, he doesn't really care about... Yeah, neither do I, but I'm just saying, you know, it seems like all the stuff he does is, like, he wants to make the flash. And like how, like, Steph Marbury used to, like, get 10 assists because, like, it would look good on his numbers, but he didn't actually make them in the context of winning a basketball game.
I don't know. It's not like he's been dominating the ball that much. I mean, he scored a lot that game and shot while doing it.
I just don't think he has any basketball IQ. Besides, like, he sees the floor well.
He sees the floor well. Well, that's a pretty fucking big part of the offense, basketball IQ. I mean,
yeah.
He can play defense, but, I mean, just because he's fucking tiny and he's weak.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got a long way to go.
Yeah. Well, this has been a good haul for the rookie crop of all ugly players. I think Trae Young's going to have a long career there. I think Kevin Knox is going to have a long career there.
Thinking about Kevin Knox the other day. I wasn't sure.
Oh, no, yeah. He's ugly.
Like a third teamer?
No, he's ugly. Yeah. Look, it's hard to get those power forward spots, but if you squeeze him in as a three, I think there's a lot to
do
there.
You should draw a European big man for, like, the bigs. I'm an all-ugly team, man, so
yeah.
It's good to have Kevin Knox.
Well, you know, when Sheldon Williams left the league, it really opened up some spots because he was a career guy, but... Kevin Knox is definitely may take that mantle. Trae Young can take. Trae Young's hair is just really, really bad. I don't know if he's balding.
It's got like the rat face look to him, and the hair really just adds to it.
Oh yeah, 100%.
It tops it off. I'm not sure who came with that. Maybe his mom likes the haircut. I don't know.
It's bad.
I don't know. He's got like a Jewish mom thing going on.
I think his hair is thinning, and so he has like a few curls left. I don't know what's going on there, but yeah, he has a spot locked up. It'll be good.
All right. I think we should probably leave it at that.
I think so.
I think we're ending on a good note. Yeah. I did have on here, I found it at the last minute, just anybody's in College Park, apparently they're now selling 77-pack 90 light case.
Oh, yeah.
It's a Donald shape, I heard. I thought
they sold out, like, super quick, didn't they? I
heard about it, like, it was on a podcast, it was 2 weeks ago. So, like, I don't know if it's even relevant to this point.
Yeah, it's definitely real. I thought I heard they sold out, like, really, really fast.
Makes sense.
Because, you know, in College Park, when you hear there's some sort of alcohol thing going on.
It's fucking 65 pounds, so, you know, I'm sure, like, all, like, the frat bros, like, 100%. Huge muscles are like, oh, I'm carrying this out one hit like a dumbbell, like.
They probably went and bought it and then carried it down Route 1 to the fraternity house. They didn't even put it in a car.
Fucking, like, idle, you're really carrying it in the street? Yeah, that's quite the case, right? So, maybe we'll do that when we do, like, the Vegas reunion, year 20 or so, I don't know.
I was just talking to someone, actually, sorry to say it, it's someone from Old Bridge that I know, one of Amy's friend's husbands.
Oh, you should be spitting on that.
But no, look, at this point, Old Bridge people are Central Jersey people, they're good people, and he was also saying that he's also recently done a Power Hour, so I brought up our podcast Power Hour.
You did, like, Power 30.
Well, I admitted that, and he said, yeah, he was saying that, like, they were struggling as well, like, he had to throw up a few times in the middle. And
a few times?
Yeah.
Did he finish?
He finished.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah.
All right, I respect the throw up. If you get to the finish line.
That's what I thought I was going to do, but I couldn't throw up that day. And
Those
beeps came fast and furious.
Maybe we play a few more. What do we put, like, a 28-cup game up on? Maybe we can keep doing a few more of those.
Got to retrain the system.
You'll get your stamina up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, things to work towards. Shooting Stars, 28 cups time.
Yeah.
Life goals.
I like it. Anything else?
I think we're good. Let's close this out. Week one. We'll be back in a few months. We'll let things settle in a little bit. Maybe like a month. Because usually the beginning of the year is the exciting times. But yeah, don't give up yet, Paul. It's too soon.
I know. I'm too excited for the season every year to give up this early, and I don't even know what that would look like. So I'm in it for the long haul, and hopefully my team will just turn it around a little bit. Yeah. All right, guys. For Ira, you know, and me, great time, great listening, and hope you guys listen all season with us. Thanks.
Set those lineups.